Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Petey.
Hey.
Welcome to 93XRT, man. It is so nice to have you here. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, what a great weekend this has been for you back in Chicago. You're from here. You grew up in Chicago, correct?
Yeah. It's been a dream. It's been awesome.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the North Shore, so in Winnetka. So yeah, I went to New Trier High School and all that.
So that's pretty cool that you release your new album, USA, and you come home for the release.
I know. It's been great. It's been like a real dream weekend, which is like hit everything. It's awesome.
Well, we're both wearing Cubs hats.
Yeah.
And I guess we should say that you launched the record in a pretty cool way by throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley Field on Friday.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like a real bucket list thing.
I went to the game on Friday, and they do it so early. I got there like a few minutes late, so I didn't get to see you do it. So tell me, listen, walk us through throwing out the first pitch. What's that like, especially for someone who's a lifelong Cub fan?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I had never, I don't think I'd ever been early enough to see like how it was done anyway. So I didn't know what to expect, but it was actually really chill. Everyone was like really nice when we got there. It was my first time stepping on the field, and it was just super cool.
Now, who did you throw the pitch to?
The mascot. So
you threw it to to Clark,
yeah,
the bear.
Yeah, exactly. So that's actually why I didn't make it all the way to home plate, because I was worried if I threw it as hard as I could, then he wasn't wearing the proper protective gear, so I didn't want to.
You don't want to hurt the mascot.
Yeah, yeah.
No one wants to put Clark out of commission. All those little kids would be so disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
And he doesn't wear pants,
right?
Which is another thing.
For
so
sure. Yeah,
he does not have the proper gear. You're right.
Yeah. So I was set up for failure immediately, but no, we made the best of it. It was great. It was so fun.
Yeah, I bet that's just incredible. And the Cubs won that day.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Well, you know, you and I have one thing in common,
mm-hmm.
Along with being Cubs fans and growing up in Chicago, but we both worked in a mailroom.
Oh, yeah?
I managed a mailroom of one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How'd you like that?
Well, it was interesting, and there's probably a few parallels.
Yeah.
That, it was at a time in my life where I could actually go to a job and be hungover.
Yes.
Which was a good thing.
Yes.
And also, it was, I had power. I had the power over all the office supplies.
Yeah.
And the copy machine as well. That was my thing.
The power over the office supplies was something I can definitely relate to. It was just like our one true value, which was special. And then I had no idea how many types of pens that actually existed and how particular... people who make a lot of money are about the pens that they use.
Yeah.
So that was a nice learning experience. So I took that with me, and I got to watch a lot of Cubs games too, because that was always...
Well, I did it for an automotive manufacturing company.
Oh, sure.
And they made automotive testing equipment, basically, right?
It there was, you go.
Grosse Pointe Road, a place called Peerless Instrument Company.
Oh, nice.
And I think the revelation for me was when one of the guys in the office, one of the older guys, told me, he said, you know, once you're in this business, once you're in production control, just take a look at the Sunday paper. There's always ads for production control. You'll work for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that. So was that the similar experience you had with your mail?
Not at all, because I worked in ICM Partners, which is a talent agency.
Oh.
Now bought out by CAA. So it was quite the opposite, actually. Everyone was just like, you'll probably be here for 6 months and then you'll never work in entertainment ever again.
But isn't that the stepping stone for the entertainment business?
It is. I had a pretty unique experience, though, because so if you get a job at one of these agencies, you start in the mailroom because they want you to sort of experience it from the bottom up,
right,
and you work your way up the ranks. I had the unique privilege of being hired to be in the mailroom under the caveat that I stay on the mailroom forever. So I didn't have like the school credentials to like actually get a job there, because they hire a bunch of like Ivy League kids and stuff. So I just needed health insurance and $15 an hour. So they were just like, you can work in the mailroom, but you're not going to, you don't want to be an agent, and we're not going to, you know, allow that to happen. We just need someone to stay here and check the mail, check in packages, bring up the FedEx packages, and keep inventory of the pens. So I did that for 3.5 years, and that was my last gig before all the music stuff started happening.
Well, you started writing songs during that period, right?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I had so much free time during the day because I was just like basically kind of stationed by the freight elevator waiting for FedEx and UPS to show up. And on the days when I was down there, so it was like, it would be like, okay, like 15 seconds of action twice a day. And then the rest of the time was just kind of twiddling my thumbs, watching TV, thinking about songs to write and stuff like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, any inspiration for any of your songs from working in that job?
Certainly, yeah. Like most of them, especially for my first album, it was just like really interesting to see the same cast of characters go to work every single day, and like in a huge building where there was like such a like hierarchical system that would like was really sort of like reminiscent about just like how. There's a lot of parallels to just like how America is. And because I didn't have that much work to do, it was just sort of just like observing how people change in, you know, kind of controlled settings like that. And it was really eye opening and kind of sad a lot of the time, but I had a lot of good experiences there, and I will say they were very good to me, and like, you know, it was just interesting. Got a lot of inspiration from
it. It's a good thing they weren't that good to you, because you were able to get out of there and...
Oh, I said they were good to me. Oh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
They were
yeah,
good
yeah,
to
yeah,
you.
They were good too. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I had a lot of friends there because I just spent my time mostly, when I wasn't down in the basement, just kind of walking around the floors and talking to everyone who worked there. But, It wasn't bad, and it set me up for this career pretty much, because I had the autonomy and free time to create stuff.
Well, it's interesting how everything you do sets you up for what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know, and I can take that same experience from my mailroom, and I also work for a car rental and limousine company, so I had a lot of contact with people that way, and I got to see people who take limousines and what they do for a living, and you know you can be inspired in a way or not.
For sure. It was so interesting to have on paper, like literally be a dead end job, like the definition of it, to go into something with no upward mobility. I think it would have been really easy to sort of just like wallow in that and suffer in that and sort of, you know, and feel bad about that reality. But instead, you know, it was just like really nice to okay, there's 300 people that work here. How can I use this situation to sort of like elevate my own? And I feel like those opportunities are there if you're looking for them. And I'm just glad I found them.
Well, congrats on your new album, USA.
Thank you.
It's really a trip, man. I enjoy listening to it. I hear something new in the lyrics every time I listen to it, and also in the music. Did you play everything on the record, or did you have a band?
I played everything on the record, so with the exception of like some synth parts and some good guitar parts here and there. So I'm a really good drummer, so I sort of I've played all the drums first, and then I would lay down bass, and then both the producers I was working with are a lot more synth savvy than I am. And then there was one song, a couple songs actually, where I recorded guitar the best I could. It was pretty sloppy, and then I had to call in my friend Garrison, the pro, and he redid my sloppy parts in a couple tracks. But for the most part, it's all me.
Well, it's pretty interesting to write the songs, and I don't know how you write them. If you write them do you write them on a guitar, or do you just write them in your head?
I kind of write them in my head, yeah. So like most of this album was done going on hikes. Pretty much, I went on like the same hike every day for like 6 months. And that was great. It's like a nice easy hike. It's a hike that I don't have to like use my brain for, because it's like kind of like second nature. I know exactly where to go. It's not too difficult, but it's really beautiful. And so I kind of like just did that over and over again, wrote everything in my head. And then once I get in my head, I kind of like write it on MIDI on my computer. And then that'll be the rough cut of it. And then when it's time to go to the studio, I'll go in and play all the real instruments. Yeah. And then work with the producers to mold it into a proper song that we're all happy with.
Well, with playing all the instruments or most of the instruments, that's kind of a unique thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that. I mean, Stevie Wonder, but...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just like the only way I know how.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. So I have a lot of fun doing it, and save some money doing it too.
Well, I've seen the record described as, I think it said, an origin story for a typical male in his 30s.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that yours, or did someone come up with that? Because that's that sounds like a...
It's a combination of, I think, like what I was, me just like, you know, writing as myself, who is that? And then also that just has been the response, both to my first record, Lean Into Life, and this one. It's so funny. We were joking the other night at dinner that the most popular comment we get on everything Instagram, YouTube is, I'm a guy in my 30s. That's how it
starts it.
Yeah, and then a long paragraph. But the amount of I'm in my 30s comments that we get is, it's overwhelming. But that just seems to be the people who it's, you know, or who are super receptive to all this stuff. So
yeah, well, you know, I'm not a guy in my 30s, but I've lived through the 30s.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of universal.
Sure.
I'm not sure if that ever really changes. What's, for you, what is that typical experience, if you were to just explain what it is?
I think that it's kind of like a unique time where there's that sort of like anxiety about maybe running out of excuses. If you haven't really like found your thing yet, or if you're still struggling, it becomes a time in your life where it's just like you have so many examples in your 20s of just like you have this camaraderie with your peers. If you guys are all sort of just like failing together. And then I think there's something that happens when you turn 30. If you still haven't figured it out, you start to get more alone in that as your friends sort of like progress through life, start making more money, getting married, having kids, and all that stuff. So I think it's just like can really, I think the perceived, you know, failures can like hit a lot harder as life goes on. And I'm 31, so it's the only age or perspective that I can really write from. So that seems to be, I think, why it's hidden.
Well, like I said, it's kind of universal, because I think back to my time in the 30s, and there was a point like maybe in the mid 30s when I finally got put on the track, or I had a revelation that this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for it. Because I was sort of a late arrival into this business of music and in radio. And I went back to college and took some classes, and it really put me on the right path. In my 30s, and like around 36, 37, I felt like, okay, this is what it is, because I sure blew a lot of the 20s.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You just do that. So that's why I think when I listen to this record, I can relate to so much of it, even all these years later.
Yeah. I think, and so I was kind of just touching on more of the sadder moments, but I think part of the happier moments is just sort of like, it's like a double-edged sword. There's also this catharsis that there is no real timeline for anything, and there's no real rules about where anyone should be at any specific time. And so I think some of the more like brighter revelatory moments in the album are kind of touch on that freedom, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I like about the song called Freedom to, we'll say Freedom to F Off.
Yeah.
That it's like, at the beginning, it is sort of a celebration of, I have this all this free time. I can do whatever I want. I can stink if I want. I can do this. But then that song makes such a change near the end, to where the person singing the song is now like, I want responsibility.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what I really want. I want kids. I want this stuff.
Yeah, just to be grounded. I kind of describe that song just like in more harsher terms, is that those first two verses are just me acting like a brat. And then the last verse is just like deciding to grow up and assume the paradox of assuming responsibility is buying you sort of like mental freedom, because you don't you start limiting yourself in a very freeing way, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I some of the songs too, that they're, like I said, there are these revelations, and truths are spoken in these songs, and then they just burst with joy.
Yeah.
That's a real nice, well, I don't know, I guess journey through each one of these songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, right on, man. Thank you.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And you, wrote these and recorded them with playing them live in mind, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So last album I had was my first record, and it was the first time that I ever had gone on tour. It's the first time that I ever like sang live. So this time around, it was like the process from starting it. I didn't feel like I was starting from scratch. I was sort of informed by a year of playing my last record live, and what was really paying attention to what was really fun for me, what was really fun for the audience. Those two ended up aligning pretty much. And, you know, I look at this very, like, pragmatically as a job. It's just like, if my job is to record records and then spend the next year playing them live, it's just like, all right, let's make that next part super fun for me. And if I'm having more fun, everyone else seemed to be having more fun too. So I just kind of had that in mind as I was writing it. It's like, all right, let's make these all super fun live.
Yeah,
live
they're all go-for-it songs, really, when you come down to it. You know,
totally.
I can't wait to hear these songs come alive. And well, here's a question too, also, you know, that you put this together by yourself and recording all the parts, and that, what's it like playing it with a band? I mean, what's the process for doing that?
It's really cool. It's kind of anxiety inducing at first, because you know, my drummer's not local, and all the other band members have other jobs and stuff like that. So we're not like rehearsing every week. So it's kind of just like, we're staring down the barrel at like, all right, we've got to have a really concentrated, focused week of practice so we can learn these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fun and also scary, but it's like we're our own cover band kind of. So, it's fun in that way.
How is it teaching your band members how to play these songs? Are you, do you have like an idea in mind of what they're supposed to be, or does it all just kind of come together and you go with it?
For sure. I mean, I think it helps, especially for my drummer, it helps that I'm a drummer. So
yeah.
I think that maybe like there'd be a situation where if I didn't know how to play drums, it'd be really hard to articulate exactly what I want. And I'm super particular about the drum parts and the mm-hmm. live parts. So we have a really, you know, easy time communicating, where I wrote the parts, but he's way better at drums than me. So we speak the same language. And then luckily with my guitar player, who's been, you know, one of my best friends since we mm-hmm. were 13 years old and have always played music together, we're sort of speaking like a more of a telepathic language, where he just knows exactly what I want. And how he can and elevate the parts, and then it works out. It is really fun and ultimately really rewarding at the end.
Yeah. Even though the songs on the album, a lot of them are those go for it kind of songs, but like I said, always end with something that you're left with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The album really covers a lot of mental health ground too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's just I think it's just because when you have to, or at least my process when I'm writing an album, it's mm-hmm. just like the way that I do it is just sort of like go on walks and sit there and think. And so when you think about what to write about, the only place to go is sort of start thinking about yourself.
Right.
And it's the only like place that I know to write from. So when you start thinking about yourself, I think the easiest way to translate that into a meaningful song is just like, all right, what do I need to work on? And sort of like work through that as you're writing. And it's been the only effective mechanism I've had to write a song. But I've always said, I'm really, you know, I'm jealous of people who can write about like the seasons or like just being in love and like all that stuff.
Well,
and
no.
It's just, I don't, it just doesn't work for me. I just kind of have to try and go pretty deep.
There's a line in one of the songs where it says, I think about too much in a warm bed.
Oh, in a warm bath.
In a warm bath?
Yeah.
Oh, see, so I didn't have the lyrics, but I
yeah.
But I do it in a warm bed.
Sure, whatever.
You know, waking up.
Yeah.
Say you wake up early. Luckily, I get up at 3:30 in the morning to come to work, so I don't have that time where I just lay in bed and think about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of a scary time.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, warm bath, the same thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the I need the freedom to smell bad thinking about way too much in a warm bath. Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people know you not for your music, but for the videos you do.
Yeah.
The really cool, funny TikTok and Instagram skits that many of us have seen, millions of us have seen.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a lot of followers. Is there a? Do you talk to people who know you only for that?
Yeah,
and have no idea that you're a musician and a songwriter.
Oh, a lot of people. A lot of people. Yeah. So the fan crossover I've always said is like, you know, less than a. It's not really a Venn diagram because all the music fans know that I do the comedy videos,
yeah.
But it's like the comedy circle is a massive circle, and then the music circle is a very much more concentrated but smaller circle within the big one. So not all the comedy fans know about the music, but all the music fans know about the comedy. But if you know about, you know, if you're one of those fans and know about both, then those are the people who are, you know, selling out the shows and singing all the lyrics. And it's just like a really concentrated, passionate fan base,
right,
that I feel super lucky to have. But, you know, everyone's just kind of a part of the world, and they kind of interact with it. And however it works for them, they have their own ideas about how they link up, so, you know, and so
right.
It's nice.
Bringing those two worlds together.
Yeah.
Boy, if you do that, you're playing Soldier Field.
Yeah, for sure. And that's been the goal. I mean, it's, you know, we have this new label deal, and as we're rolling it out, it's kind of just like, all right, what's the most strategic way to introduce people to music without alienating people who don't want to hear it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, a balance of not wanting to like overstep to people who are just like really glob on the comedy. And music is just such a subjective thing. So if it's not their thing, then I still want them to be able to enjoy the comedy videos. So it's just kind of like towing that line of, you know, getting people informed without hitting people over the head with it. They just don't want to hear it. But it's been, I mean, I've been, you know, posting a lot about music. People have been so excited and receptive. We have a lot of converts, and it's going really well. I'm super excited about it.
I can just hear people saying, you know that Petey guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's really a great musician, too, man.
Yeah.
You have to check that out.
The best moments are the ones who discovered the music and had been listening to it and then discovered the comedy and didn't know that I was the same guy, and then they figure that out. And then it's just always special hearing about those moments.
One of the skits that stands out to me, and I think it was the first one that I actually saw, was the skit with Bob Weir.
Oh, yeah?
How did that happen?
Oh, well, the guy filming actually is dating Bob's daughter, and he's my best friend, so
that's perfect.
Yeah, that's how it happens. It's really funny. People have found that out because I tag Will. He edits and records all the TikTok videos. So I tag him in the comments being like, you know, this was shot by my friend Will. They go to Will's Instagram. They see Monet, Bob's daughter. They have, you know, 18 pictures together on his Instagram. So they kind of put two and two together. And one guy's comment was like, how do you know Bob Weir? And then some guy makes a snarky remark underneath, be like, I don't know, maybe his manager dates his daughter. And I was just like, how do you think people meet? You know, like,
right.
It's just like friends are friends and your real life stuff. I think people like to have this fantasy that I was just like strolling through the woods of Marin County, like smoking weed and just like saw Bob playing bongo drums or whatever. And we just sort of like hit it off like fairy tale style. But that's just not how it happened.
I actually believe that he just appeared in your television.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's
for
that
sure.
I went with that.
I know. Well, I hate to give up the smokescreen and the mysticism of it all. But, you know, we met in a very... in a normal way, and on how people meet friends.
Which is why Bob was so good in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he really was.
But he's great. He's the best.
You mentioned a second ago about your record deal and your label, and congratulations being on, you know, the iconic label of Capitol. That has to be something that was beyond your imagination when you first started writing songs, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I could have never imagined it, but it just like worked out so well, and the team's great.
Yeah. Well, Now when we see the list of Capitol artists, it'll be the Beatles, yeah. Beach Boys, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and Petey.
Yeah.
That's so great.
It's really a really amazing thing is happening where both the names Paul and Petey start with a P, so on the artist's label, it's Paul McCartney and then me, which is a great thing to show like parents and parents' friends to
right.
like, just like legitimize it. It's like, oh no, this is my job. Here's me. Here's Paul McCartney. And it's so funny because it's just like how the alphabet works. But
right.
It's a great conversation starter.
that kind of list and also appearances on television really mean a lot.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Radio, it's okay. Yeah. It's radio. But TV. Oh, you were on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw you in a commercial. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for coming by and congrats on the record and everything that you've been doing. You're, you know, being turned on to your comedy and your music within a very short time for myself has been great. And I've spent a lot of time listening to the record. I really, really like it. So look forward to seeing you play live when you come back to Chicago to perform.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me. This has been great.
And go Cubs. They have to win this week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In a warm bed.
Oh, in a warm bath.
In a warm bath?
Yeah.
Oh, see, so I didn't have the lyrics, but I But I do it in a warm bed.
Sure, whatever.
You know, waking up.
Yeah.
Say you wake up early. Luckily, I get up at 3:30 in the morning to come to work, so I don't have that time where I just lay in bed and think about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of a scary time.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, warm bath, the same thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the I need the freedom to smell bad thinking about way too much in a warm bath. Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people know you not for your music, but for the videos you do.
Yeah.
The really cool, funny TikTok and Instagram skits that many of us have seen. Millions of us have seen.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a lot of followers. Is there a... Do you talk to people who know you only for that?
Yeah.
And have no idea that you're a musician and a songwriter?
Oh, a lot of people. A lot of people. Yeah. So the fan crossover, I've always said, is like, you know, less than a... It's not really a Venn diagram because all the music fans know that I do the comedy videos,
yeah.
But it's like the comedy circle is a massive circle, and then the music circle is a very much more concentrated but smaller circle within the big one. So not all the comedy fans know about the music, but all the music fans know about the comedy. But if you know about, you know, if you're one of those fans and know about both, then those are the people who are, you know, selling out the shows and singing all the lyrics. And it's just like a really concentrated, passionate fan base
right. That
I feel super lucky to have. But, you know, everyone's just kind of a part of the world and they kind of interact with it. And however it works for them, they have their own ideas about how they link up, so, you know, and so
right. It's
nice.
Bringing those two worlds together.
Yeah.
Boy, if you do that, you're playing Soldier Field.
Yeah, for sure. And that's been the goal. I mean, we have this new label deal, and as we're rolling it out, it's kind of just like, all right, what's the most strategic way to introduce people to music without alienating people who don't want to hear it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, a balance of not wanting to like overstep to people who are just like really glob on the comedy. And music is just such a subjective thing. So if it's not their thing, then I still want them to be able to enjoy the comedy videos. So it's just kind of like towing that line of, you know, getting people informed without hitting people over the head with it. They just don't want to hear it. But it's been, I mean, I've been, you know, posting a lot about music. People have been so excited and receptive. We have a lot of converts and it's going really well. I'm super excited about it.
I can just hear people saying, you know that Petey guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's really a great musician, too, man.
Yeah,
you have to check that out.
The best moments are the ones who discovered the music and had been listening to it and then discovered the comedy and didn't know that I was the same guy, and then they figure that out. And then it's just always special hearing about those moments.
One of the skits that stands out to me And I think it was the first one that I actually saw was the skit with Bob Weir.
Oh, yeah.
How did that happen?
Oh, well, the guy filming actually is dating Bob's daughter, and he's my best friend, so...
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's how it happens. It's really funny. People have found that out because I tag Will. He edits and records all the TikTok videos. So I tag him in the comments being like, you know, this was shot by my friend Will. They go to Will's Instagram. They see Monet, Bob's daughter. They have, you know, 18 pictures together on his Instagram. So they kind of put two and two together. And one guy's comment was like, how do you know Bob Weir? And then some guy makes a snarky remark underneath, be like, I don't know, maybe his manager dates his daughter. And I was just like, how do you think people meet? You know, like, right. It's just like friends are friends and your real life stuff. I think people like to have this fantasy that I was just like strolling through the woods of Marin County, like smoking weed and just like just saw Bob playing bongo drums or whatever. And we just sort of like hit it off like fairy tale style. But that's just not how it happened.
I actually believe that he just appeared in your television.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's for that sure. I went with that.
I know. Well, I hate to give up the smoke screen and the mysticism of it all. But, you know, we met in a very... in a normal way, and how people meet friends.
Which is why Bob was so good in that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he really was.
But he's great. He's the best.
You mentioned a second ago about your record deal and your label, and congratulations being on the iconic label of Capitol. That has to be something that was beyond your imagination when you first started writing songs, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I could have never imagined it, but it just like worked out so well. And the team's great.
Now when we see the list of Capitol artists, it'll be the Beatles, Beach Boys, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and Petey.
Yeah.
That's so great.
It's really a really amazing thing is happening where both the names Paul and Petey start with a P. So on the artist's label, it's Paul McCartney and then me, which is a great thing to show like parents and parents' friends to just legitimize it. It's like, oh no, this is my job. Here's me. Here's Paul McCartney. And it's so funny because it's just like how the alphabet works. But it's a great conversation starter.
that kind of list and also appearances on television really mean a lot.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Radio. It's okay. It's radio. But TV. Oh, you were on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw you in a commercial. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming by and congrats on the record and everything that you've been doing. You're being turned on to your comedy and your music within a very short time for myself has been great. And I've spent a lot of time listening to the record. I really, really like it. So look forward to seeing you play live when you come back to Chicago to perform.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me. This has been great.
And go Cubs. They have to win this week.
Go Cubs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.